New card. What do you think?
Get over here!
Hadouken!
That man is playing Galaga.
I understood that reference.
You shall not pass!
So say we all.
So say we all.
Run with me.
It's adamantium tasting time, boys.
Well, make it so, number one.
All wings report in.
And welcome to your weekly interval. This is the Best Damn Nerd Show. I am your host, Mike from Alchemist, James Kincaid. And with me tonight, the ever stalwart, Professor Chris Davis.
Ah, so good to be here, Jimbo. I love you. I miss you.
Thanks. What is,
good to see why your face.
Why are you kissing up to me?
You know, when
it's
you
rare.
Don't do your research and you're not prepared, you got you gotta suck up at the beginning, you know?
That stands to reason. Well, flattery will get you everywhere. That's for those with the benefit of YouTube.
You want to know what the mug says.
Thank you for joining us both on YouTube and on the Tenno Media Network and wherever you get your podcast. But welcome back to the Best Damn Nerd Show. What have you been up to, Davis, since last week when, you know, we said we took our first step into the What If universe, which we will be discussing again later on in this episode, What If Episode 2. But what have you been up to?
I dove into a few new things over the last week. And when I say new, I mean that they've been out for a few years and I finally got around to them.
That's fair.
So,
that's often how I approach things.
Yeah, especially when they're free. So you hyped up a game a lot that I've been wanting to play, and I finally got a copy of it from my bro. And
oh, yeah?
I've been diving into Feudal Japan and Ghost of Tsushima.
Oh, so, very nice.
It has been interesting. Very early, but I do like, I'm just still trying to master controls and getting a whole lot of the new moves and all that.
Beautiful game, though. Like, you can already tell already. It's funny that you picked up Ghost of Tsushima again because, you know, I needed a little bit of an escape this week just from all the goings-ons of life. And I, too, took a trip back to Feudal Japan. I picked up after having, you know, beaten it however long ago now, decides, like, you know what? I just want to go around and kill some Mongols and some Ronin, you know, and compose some haiku, take a dip in the hot springs. And so I, too, went back to Tsushima. And this is how tapped in... Sorry, Nerdosphere, to the sort of video game community I am, had no idea that they completely updated the game and had all this, you know, new content and new sort of like play styles and stuff. Like, there's Ghost of Tsushima Plus now, where which is what I ended up doing, is after you beat the game, you can go back and play it again. It's slightly more difficult, but you get to keep all of your like upgrades that you've earned from your first playthrough. I'm just like, oh, that's awesome. I want to do that because I wanted to have more missions to play, but I also, didn't want to be busted back down to, you know, not having all my special attacks and everything. So it was perfect. So thank you, Ghost of Tsushima. It was such a pleasant surprise.
So you start from the beginning, or where does it start?
Yeah,
because I feel like you'd be able to, like,
it starts you right after the cinematic open. And so when you're in like free roam, like right when you go, basically after you finish the first tutorial mission, which is like that cinematic open, like that's where they drop you. And
you fall off the
there's like new merchants and new gear you can get, like all this new stuff, like, and almost immediately something that I wanted that wasn't in the original run of the game is like at this dye merchant. I'm just like, oh, beautiful. It's going to really tie my whole character together. So I was pretty stoked on that.
I don't know what I'm doing with haikus. I've ran into a couple guys talking about them. It seems like it's going to be a thing, but do I have to create haikus?
Yes.
I've never been a poet.
You have to get to. It's very beneficial that you do so. It helps, you know, still your mind before battle. But yeah, no, you will run into, I think there's 20 or 25 places or something like that to compose haiku in the game. and how it works, Davis, minor spoilers,
you'll be looking at a
scene and it will ask you to reflect on, you know, the battle ahead, and you'll have like, you sort of search the screen for as what you're looking at, and that's how you compose the haiku.
And it judges,
very cool.
And it judges your quality.
No, never judges you. They're all hitters in my opinion.
Okay.
So you know, you get rewards out of it and stuff like that. And yeah. So wait, where exactly are you?
Oh man. Let's see. I just did a mission where, it was like getting this archer guy, and we were going after a student. We found out.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Ishikawa. Yeah, you should know his name.
Yeah.
Giants and fan over there.
And we went over and found out that she kind of switched sides. So
yeah.
So we're going after her.
Nice. Yeah. Come away.
Yeah, it's been fun, and definitely getting back to like hand to hand stuff over like all the, you know, shooters that I usually play. So it's a good change.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful game, and it seems like there's a lot to it. So
I don't know if you played Shadows of Mordor.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's very much so like samurai ninja version of that game in a lot of respects, for sure. Yeah. Have you done the standoff feature yet?
Yeah, a few times. Took me a moment to realize that there was like a timing aspect to it. So I was like trying to swipe away. It's like, yeah, I got him. I beat him.
That'll get you.
Nope.
But that's honestly maybe my favorite feature of the whole game are the standoffs. There's just something so rewarding, so cinematic about that. So I'm love that we both were just so in sync that we dived into Ghost of Tsushima here. So that's great. What else you been doing? You know what? Here, just let's test it to see how just simpatico we are right now.
Oh dear.
I checked out a new show too. I wonder if you also checked out this same show on Stars, starring Stephen Amell. Heels, baby.
Oh man, I definitely did not.
Oh man,
I missed that one.
You're missing out, dude. It's so good. We're only one episode in as of this recording. And very much so enjoyed it. Stephen Amell is back, baby. He's back with another hit show. Hopefully this one doesn't get ruined by season 3. So, yeah, I don't know. I was just a very enjoyable show, I think, even if you don't like pro wrestling, which I know you claim you don't. Even though it's very obvious that you do. So, you know, you can enjoy it privately, Davis, and report back. It's very, very,
my home. Yeah.
Yes. Very enjoyable show, though. Like, good, just great sort of drama surrounding the pro wrestling trappings. It's kind of like Walking Dead in that respect. It's like, yeah, it's about pro wrestling, but it's like sort of in the background compared to all the other stuff going on. And I think you actually might learn a thing or two about the business.
Oh, because I need to.
You should. Yes. Maybe it'll change your perspective on things.
Right, right. I do love Stephen Amell, and it's good to hear that it is an actual good show. The production value of it looked actually very good in the trailer. So I could give it a shot just to follow along with you guys. So
it is James Harrison's Stars, in it. Though. If that doesn't, yeah. Well, that was the main thing too. I mean, to be honest, before that trailer came out, I wasn't certain that Stars still existed, and even as much as I enjoyed that show, I still question why Stars still exists.
Black Sails. It saved it.
Sure.
That's my belief.
Sure. Yeah, I don't believe that.
It was a great show. So,
was Vikings on Stars?
No. Vikings was History Channel.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
What? Right?
Yeah. Yeah, they don't really do history anymore.
Yeah, no, they do aliens and apparently dramatized Norse raiders. So
it's pretty much just aliens now, which, you know, I can't say I'm unhappy about.
I mean, it's not the worst period in History Channel's history, as it were, because I remember when they went through the How It Works phase, which was just like on repeat all the time. It's like, okay, know. I don't how stuff gets made. I did show me Caesar crossing the Rubicon. I did not come here for how the diesel engine works. Anyway, what else you been up to?
Let's see, I also started a show that.
Oh, heels, baby.
Not sure how much longer I'm going to get through because it's been a late night show and I've just been kind of dozing off. And I'm not sure if that's the show's fault or just my tiredness. But I started Titans on HBO.
Nice.
Which apparently, to go with the theme of years late, is in season 3. There's 3 seasons of this thing. And
is
we haven't touched it.
Is that the show that was sort of supposed to be the flagship of that failed like DC Universe network that they were launching?
I think so.
Remember that?
Yeah. I think when HBO just snagged up DC, I think it came along with it. But
okay.
And I'm not sure if it's still running. I haven't looked into it. Or if this is just 3 seasons that happened a while ago. But yeah, it's the first episode was all right, like getting into it, but then I kind of faded in the second, so we'll see. But you know, we got Dick Grayson in the beginning with Raven and some other characters coming along the way.
I think they play that show on TNT as well, don't they?
Maybe it started there, and then since it's DC, HBO can carry it on their app, so
maybe.
But I haven't seen any like TNT or CW logos or anything like that. Oh. So, but it, I mean, it definitely is more adult and dark. Like,
okay.
I mean, there's a good amount of swearing and blood. And
that makes it good.
Yeah. Get that dark, gritty world going. Right.
No. I mean, I like dark and gritty. That's the one. That's right. The big thing from that trailer was Dick Grayson going F Batman.
And yeah, I was going to bring that up. Was that in the trailer?
Yeah, everybody's supposed to like lose their minds over it and stuff, and I just thought it was stupid.
yeah, he is not happy with Batman right now.
Okay,
don't know why? But yeah.
Well, they have some. They have their ups and downs. I mean, look, I like Nightwing as much as the next guy, and was sort of excited when Bloodhaven was introduced into the Arrowverse and sort of got me excited. But I checked out the first episode of Doom Patrol. 2 thumbs up for me. That's another show that we're behind on. Sorry, Nerdosphere. Yeah. We're just doing some house cleaning here.
Mark and I have been on it, so don't worry. We're carrying the load there because that's a great show.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching
that's exciting.
More of that. Yeah, very, very good. And you know what? Brendan Fraser, who is having a big-time moment on the internet right now. He is approaching Keanu Reeves levels of belovedness. And so we are in a renaissance for Brendan Fraser right now.
I mean, he's just so lovable. So
he's had a hard time. You know, he's had some bad stuff happen, and you know, I think everybody is ready for him to come back with vengeance. And with vengeance, I mean, like a really nice, you know, sort of just smile.
Right. And so, like, his renaissance there doesn't really surprise me. But, like, if you look back on Keanu, I still don't know why he was propped up so much. Because I don't really feel like he was a likable guy.
I think he at peak. Wow.
And then,
okay. Well, now we're canceled. Thanks, Dave.
At the peak, you know, like Matrix, I feel like there were some things about him that came out, maybe, that seemed like he was an asshole at times.
I don't remember that. I just know that now, like, he's just viewed as this very, like, lovable, genuine guy. And some quotes, like, came out about him, like, being very supportive of, you know, some fans and stuff like that. And so he is, he became one of the glitterati, as it were, unassailable.
Yeah. Well, here's the, you know, headline for John's YouTube clip. Best Damn Nerd Show hates Keanu.
Do not make it that, because I really like Keanu Reeves, in spite of the fact that third Bill and Ted movie was atrocious. You know, I get it. You wanted to get your friend some work. I understand. Yeah. This is terrible.
If you don't like Keanu Reeves, get out. We're not friends.
Yeah. Anyway, so hopefully we don't get canceled for that. But all right, well, that was enough sort of catching up with one another. We're going to take our first break. On the other side, we know now officially that Shang-Chi will stink, and we'll take a trip to the trailer park on the other side of the Best Damn Nerd Show.
Hey everyone, it's me, Hanzo Gonzo. Want to let you know a couple of ways you can help me avenge my sensei, who was thrown off a cliff by badgers. Check out our Patreon for exclusive content, including early access to podcasts. And in addition, you can check out our web store with a bunch of gear you can purchase. You can find both on our website, www.10-o.gg. Remember, your support means I can get revenge on Bad Gear, the Dire Badger, and my sensei can finally know peace. Remember, www.10-o.gg to support. Thanks.
It's the microphone alchemist Bimbo Jimbo here, and when I'm not verbally super kicking Last Jedi fans on the Best Damn Nerd Show, or fantasy casting The Rock in another movie on the DLC, well, that's when I actually get to talk about wrestling. That's right. Come join me in the Wrestling War Room, where I take my mic to the mat and launch my hot takes about the Wednesday Night War between AEW and NXT. The Wrestling War Room, which side are you on?
I would rather have a day job than be a Pokemon master.
Han Solo is clearly more attractive than Indiana Jones.
I would take the Star Wars trilogy over the Matrix trilogy any time.
The Legend of Zelda versus Super Mario. Who's better in bed, Jafar or Gaston? And would Thanos masturbate with the Infinity Gauntlet or not? Every week, Nerd Rage the Great Debates brings you the funniest comics, writers, and podcasters to settle some of geekdom's most divisive topics. Find us on Spotify or wherever you find podcasts.
Welcome back to the Best Damn Nerd Show. James Kincaid alongside Professor Chris Davis. And I teased before the break that we know why now that Shang-Chi officially will, in fact, stink. I was not overly optimistic for Shang-Chi and Legend of the Ten Rings to begin with. You know, he's a jabroni character. He's a jobber. Nothing against him personally. It's just this is sort of the height of Marvel hubris. That they're throwing these characters, you know, as sort of their next wave that we're supposed to have the same level of investment in as, like, say, a Captain America or an Iron Man and stuff like that. And I get it, because I think their whole game changed with Guardians of the Galaxy, because they too were a group of jabrons that nobody really cared about, other than the super, super diehard comic book fan. And they happen to just hit an absolute grand slam with the style and portrayal in their film. And I think that led to Marvel to be like, we could do anything. I mean, they'll watch anything and they'll love it. They have to. And it worked for a while. but now, as I often say, and it's true, the MCU's best days are far behind it. And They are in Shang-Chi and hearkening back to the first misstep of the MCU, as far as I can tell. And this is now, there was no doubt. I think the trailer visually looked good, but there were some concerning things. The fact that they are shoehorning the Mandarin into this movie as Shang-Chi's father, and that we're supposed to, you know, we're supposed to just be celebrating that. Oh, see, now we're getting the Mandarin. And one of the few missteps that you can really point to in the early MCU or the mid, you know, sort of peak MCU time period is how they did the Mandarin. The Mandarin is Tony Stark, Iron Man's arch nemesis.
He's gone though. So we're not going to do him, right?
That's the Mandarin. That's how people want him to be portrayed, is Iron Man's arch nemesis. We didn't get that. We never got that. End of story. Sad misstep, but let's just move on.
We didn't get that?
No, we never got that.
I feel like there was a movie in there that had a Mandarin.
Iron Man 3, yes, is what I'm talking about, is the sort of, which, by the way, I started my rewatch of the MCU with Iron Man 1 this past week as well.
I was wondering where you were.
Damn near perfect movie. An apex predator of blockbusters and one of the most important movies of the 21st century, which brings us to today. But Iron Man 3 is when the MCU really started losing their way, you know, sort of, you know, visibly with how they did the Mandarin, with Sir Ben Kingsley playing actor Trevor Slattery, who was just impersonating him. And it was so freaking terrible. which is why Iron Man 3, amongst the many other failings of that movie, ranks right at the bottom of my list of MCU movies. But so we never got the real Mandarin in Iron Man. You know, we got that one shot where supposedly the real Mandarin was coming after Trevor Slattery when he was in prison. He's like, oh, you got to watch this. Like, I'm not going to watch a DVD special feature and have you tell me that somehow that makes up for what they did in the movie. Just not going to do it. So now, why am I ranting and raving, carrying on about this? One, because they are now putting the Mandarin in Shang-Chi, a character that is not a big time player in Marvel until now, just hasn't been. And we're supposed to act like that this is a make good for the fact that he's Iron Man's arch nemesis. Now he's in the Shang-Chi movie. Completely reject that. But also, confirmation, Sir Ben Kingsley is going to be appearing in Shang-Chi, reprising his role. Yes, Davis. You're pumping your fist. Why?
I want to see what they do with this. I want to see how they explain this and why we should effing care. Because it's a bold move. It's like, why you really screwed that one up, and you know it, and you're just going to dip back in that well a little bit. So it's interesting to me. And I think it's kind of the only reason I want to see this movie now.
Some people like to watch the world burn.
Yeah.
So you put in a character that you did dirty before, and I'm talking about the actual Mandarin in this movie, to try and make up for it, and you're changing his backstory and doing all these things that are, you know, I am certainly not on board with. But if you're going to do that, okay. I don't like it, but that's a decision. But then you're going to hang a light and call back to what led us here to begin with. It just seems like it's out of the book of bad ideas. And I know in that little one shot deal they did is that the Mandarin wanted to bring sort of him forth and punish him for, you know, his impersonation. So they'll probably kill off Ben Kingsley's character in this. I would imagine probably with malice aforethought and, you know, however brutal that, you know, maybe they'll punctuate it with a one liner as he's taking his last breath. So I bet you he'll tell one last joke.
That's awful. A guarantee. That there's no Vegas line on that because it's too high. That's not a bettable thing. So.
But this all but guarantees that I will not like Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. I mean, it's
bring back old Trevor. Let's see how he goes out. But yeah, I'm on the same boat as you with introducing the real Mandarin now. Without Iron Man is very disappointing. And
yeah,
him being and maybe they do bring back Iron Man because of this whole universe thing.
So and introduce him in that.
Exactly. And Shang-Chi, you know, get your own villain.
And I understand that originally the character would be Fu Manchu, but there's like problematic origins and stuff like that. And I understand the desire to change that around, but you don't have to take a different iconic character and just throw him into Shang-Chi. You know, just change what you have to change about the original character that you wanted.
Yeah, the problem also with this,
like they did in Black Panther, by the way, with M'Baku, mm-hmm. who is a great character in that movie. I think most people would agree with that.
I do agree with that. I think the other big problem with the Mandarin in this movie is this is going to be an origin Shang-Chi movie, which is focused on the hero mainly, and the Mandarin won't get much time probably to shine. And that is another issue for me, is that if you're going to do a Mandarin, then get the origin story out of the way and focus on, like, you know, a Joker-level-esque character that has...
I feel like because of the father-son aspect that they're going for with this, like, it's not the Mandarin that we get in the comics or that great Marvel Action Hour or Iron Man cartoon show. It's not going to be that, but I do think we're going to get a heavy dose of him with the father-son dynamic. And so I think that those fears of yours might be assuaged. The quality of the stories they're going to tell with this Mandarin, I have my doubts though.
Yeah, but the reason I love the Mandarin is the complete opposite like kind of opposite but not values of the Mandarin and Iron Man, what they're fighting for. And
you like
what,
the aliens,
what they
too,
represent. Yeah, and I love aliens. And I don't know. This just seems like a family thing, like a family story. I've seen that. I want to see, you know, technology go against the old ways. And I want. Yeah, it's just not really a story I care about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Shang-Chi's not a character that a lot of people care about. A lot of people are going to pretend that they do, just like a lot of people pretended to be huge Guardians of the Galaxy's fans when it was in vogue.
Huge.
I'm a fan of the movies. I've never read a single Guardians of the Galaxy comic book. Probably never will. And I'm okay with that. So, you know, I mean, God bless Marvel in all of their pride that they're just going to be like, you know what? Shang-Chi, book it. Squirrel Girl, bring it on. Whatever. Spider Pig, let's do it. In all of their hubris, I hope it falls down around their ears. What's that, Davis?
Spider Pig's already been out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, you know, live action. I'm sure we'll probably get that at some point. I mean, and now in Black Panther 2, we're going to be getting Riri Williams, Ironheart. I mean, okay, knock off Iron Man. No thanks.
It's surprising that we're already getting to the point of having to bring in characters that have, you know, because Thor's going to do it too, with bringing in
Jane
as Thor, and it's just like we want to celebrate the awesome female superheroes, and these ones were the ones that were just kind of thrown into current roles.
Yeah, well, I think that was always where, and some people gave us pushback, and I think there was some misunderstanding, is that our belief is that, you know, push, you know, female superheroes that you already have that you believe in, or I guess maybe you don't, Marvel, or create new ones that are their own thing, as opposed to ripoffs of other, you know, older successful characters like Iron Man or like Thor, because at the end of the day, Marvel doesn't really believe. And that's, so you're going established property. So really it's just them trying to pat themselves on the back. But my thing is, in even bringing that up, is not really related to that. It's just like, man, I think they have this idea that all their characters, that we just want to see every character on the screen. It's like, they're not all winners. Sentry was not a winner. But I will laugh my ass off when he gets a trailer for a movie. Like, they tried to push him so hard. And I think that his utter and abysmal failure as a character is why we do see a lot of sort of the just mantle swapping as opposed to new characters. I don't think that they, and that goes, you know, beyond race, gender, and anything else you want to designate as. I think that there is a prevailing thought, at least depending on who's in charge at the time, that they've lost the art. They've lost the touch to create compelling new characters. So yep. They're just going to go, this is safer.
Yeah, that's what it is right there. It's safe. And they don't have to put
we know this lunchbox sells.
Yeah, they don't have to put that much money behind marketing a whole new character. And so that's, you know, it's just safe for them. And
yeah,
it's a disservice.
Well, speaking of mantle swapping, in the MCU, the Falcon is now Captain America. And if you did watch Falcon and the Winter Soldier, you have my deepest sympathies. But he is Captain America now. I really do like Anthony Mackie as the Falcon, and I really do like Sebastian Stan as the Winter Soldier. Deal closing for him to be Captain America and Captain America 4. And, you know, I think a lot of the expectation level here might be that this is that I wouldn't be pro this, and I certainly didn't like the show, but I have no issue with Chris Evans, Captain America. Stepped away, his story is done, and I hope he stays away from the MCU now. The Captain America mantle, even though it will always be Steve Rogers, even when, you know, in the comics, when it passed to Bucky for a period of time, then it did in fact pass to Sam, neither of which really worked, by the way, and they had to almost immediately give it back to Steve. So Steve's Captain America. But if they want to choose the lane and have Falcon be this new Captain America as opposed to just being the Falcon, okay. I mean, that's a decision. I personally think the just straight up Falcon suit looks better and, you know, would be cool to see a Falcon movie. But Captain America 4, what say you?
Yeah, I think it stems mostly for me, just Anthony Mackie's a great actor, and I think he can pull it off. But it's going to come down to their storytelling, and that's where they've been striking out. And so I don't think it really revolves around him being Captain America, because I definitely think he can pull it off. And I love Sebastian Stan. I think those two have a great chemistry together.
They do.
If the story is well written. So give me something like that, and I'm all for it, and let's see where it goes. But again, we're in the MCU right now where nothing matters at all.
See,
I guess
I don't view it that way.
Ever!
Like, the multiverse stuff, though, and everything has... I mean, it's been that way in comic books for years and years, you know? Yeah. So, but I never viewed the comics that I read that way. I mean, major deaths and major crossover events, yes. I mean, like, especially by, you know, the 2000s, I just roll my eyes at. But, you know, I don't really view it that... Look, the MCU sinks for right now for a lot of reasons, but I don't think it's because of the multiverse stuff.
Not yet.
And that being said, you know, I really do like Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan. I hope they both are in Captain America 4, and as bad as their TV show was, I might poke my head in and check it out.
Who would you want to see as a villain for a new Captain America movie? Would you want to see like a trilogy arc for them, or just a one-off?
No, I mean, it depends. I think that we've got Elaine Bennis setting herself up, you know, with Madame Hydra. So I think that could be one. I've always wanted to see the Masters of Evil or Serpent Society. Like, can we, you know, give me a whole ass Baron Zemo Captain America movie. Although that's another situation. Harkening back to Shang-Chi and the Mandarin, is that I wanted to see Captain America face off with Baron Zemo. I didn't want to see Falcon face off with Baron Zemo. So that would be my sort of critique there. In one of the very few positives of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier overall storytelling, wasn't perfect, but they did improve Baron Zemo at the very least from Civil War. Which that character was fine in Civil War. He just wasn't Baron Zemo, at all. So I'm glad that they at least took, some steps forward there, but
nailed the costume too. It looks so good.
Oh yeah. I would have loved to see him in the mask more though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Not enough mask time.
Give him a sword. So yeah, and there was some nonsensical stuff that, like, he just turned himself in. Whatever. I don't want to go over that friggin' terrible show again, or any of them for that matter. But yeah, I mean, I'm into it. Let's get some
Madame Hydra
going.
James is in.
Or the Serpent Society going. I'm not. They're gonna stink. And I will look forward to telling you exactly why. But I hope it's good. I always go into everything hoping it's good. And that starts with the trailers for these things. So let's take a trip to the trailer park, Davis, because we got a few things to take a look at, to react to here.
Trailer parks.
Saw this, I know you do, saw this pop up in Discord. There's there's another He-Man series coming to Netflix.
They're hedging their bets.
Like, well, clearly they...
Just in case. We read Kevin's story, and we're like, we're gonna do this on the side. Do you think Kevin even knew about this?
I didn't. Well, I certainly didn't. And I heard almost nothing about this, but not only is it coming, but there's a trailer. So we're going to take a look at it right now. And for those of you just listening to the podcast, through the magic of radio, I will spare you us just watching the trailer. But let's take a look.
Definitely for kids. And
yeah, but it's insulting to their intelligence. Like, the you know, Avatar the Last Airbender, they're not stupid.
Have you spent time with children? They're dumb.
Yes, they're not. They are resilient and more intelligent than often are given credit for. That show is an insult to their intelligence. Like a show like Avatar the Last Airbender punches up. Ask them to come up to their level. Doesn't just talk down to them and do stupid shit like that show is going to do. Holy Lord, that looks awful.
It's going to sell toys. Because I'm looking at like the figures and
it won't sell the number that they want. I guarantee you.
No, I don't believe that, but I can definitely see how they molded those characters to look to be able to kind of match them easily with toys. So and I think a lot of kids are gonna like it. I won't, but
I mean, well, yeah, I'm not even gonna watch a second of it. As we welcome back in the listeners, I had not seen one second of that trailer. And so had I known just how not for us it was, I might have punted that from the show. But holy Lord, that
hey,
looks
no,
terrible.
No, we can you know tell people of a certain age, hey, not but, for you.
I mean, that is how bad the Fat Man Menace Kevin Smith was that they have another He-Man show coming and maybe they're releasing this one to try and make his look better by comparison, but it's not gonna work. And I still have more to say about his fan blaming, his lying, and everything to go along with that, but that's for another episode on another day. We got another trailer to look at here, a Star Wars Visions animated show that's coming. So we're going, will we go 0-2 on animated trailers here? So saying a hard pass to the last one, but let's take a look at this Star Wars Visions trailer. Your thoughts, Davis?
Gonna be some hits, gonna be some misses. There is, you know, I think they said 7 different stories there. They said
I think nine.
Definitely a lot of different types of animation, standalone stories, which is cool. I'm all for like just doing something new and creative in the Star Wars, and it's not going to be, you know, tied to anything. It's like, hey, this is just like something I thought of that I thought was pretty cool, has a Star Wars theme, throw it out there. But some of the animation on a couple of the episodes looks amazing. There's like almost a black and white tent type episode where everything that you see in that trailer is like, wow, that is cool. The old man, I think, was in that episode itself, but he looks really well done and sinister and dark. But just some really cool ideas it looks like that they have for this, and some, you know, some not. I think are for the kiddos, which
some
is
not some not winners in there as well. But yeah, definitely. I mean, given that the whole Jedi order and everything like that, the Jedi's themselves heavily influenced by samurai culture on George Lucas and stuff like that. It's cool to sort of see that spun back around, everything coming full circle there with now doing, you know, a more feudal Japan sort of styled stories, at least in a couple of them. With this anime. So overall, color me excited for that. There definitely will be, like you said, some misses in there. You can already tell looking at the trailer that there's going to be some parts, at least for somebody with me and my sensibilities, I'm just going to be like, nope, no thank you. Which is interesting that the tone is going to just like swing back and forth so wildly that I wonder, like, who's their audience that they're going for with this, with like an inconsistent sort of way of storytelling. But I'm excited for it, you know, and that's not something that I usually would say, given with how Disney has handled Star Wars, which is abysmally, but this is a show that there might be some hidden gems in there.
Yeah. I wonder if they play it safe with the first couple of episodes, so they don't lose anybody. They try to get the two most neutral, like maybe for both, you know, a lot of different age groups maybe that might appeal to, and then they'll kind of venture off after that. It'll be because that's, I mean, you could watch the first episode and it has that little bunny Jedi in it, and you're like,
that one didn't look the worst to me.
No, I'm just saying, you know, you see that
the one where that kid was like emceeing the pod race or whatever was going on, and it was like no, not for me.
Might be the same episode, who knows.
It could be. I'll turn it off at that point when I find out when I get there.
Just look at like the screenshots of each episode when it comes out, and I think you can probably tell what stories might be for you and what might not be. So I think it will be pretty obvious very quickly.
Yeah. All that being said, great trailer. Definitely got me excited for it. Yeah. So we have one more trailer to talk about here in the Best Damn Nerd Show trailer park. And it is the final trailer for The Eternals. And if you remember the first one, good for you, because I remember almost nothing about the first trailer because nothing happened in it. This is another example of Marvel hubris, bunch of mostly characters that nobody's cared about. They're just, we're just going to do this and, they're going to watch it and they're going to love it.
This coffee isn't strong enough for this trailer.
Yeah, I have my doubts, but they released their final trailer. So your reaction to the Eternals final trailer, Davis? Final movie.
Yeah. I hope they don't do a second Eternals here. I'll give it a shot. I mean, I'm obviously going to watch it because that's what we do. But they did connect it to Thanos somehow. I still didn't understand why. It didn't really make any sense. But nothing about this really grabs me. The way it looks is off.
Looks awful.
The villain, like the enemies, the CGI on it is just meh. At the end it looked better when it was dark, because you can hide that kind of stuff. But any sort of like lighting, if it was bright out, daytime, those creatures look terrible. So I'm not big on the actors in this movie. I'm not a big Angelina Jolie fan, and I'm not a big Selma Hayek fan.
Well, let me pump the brakes on you right there. Selma Hayek is a treasure.
She still is.
I'll send you some evidence that contradicts your opinion after the podcast.
Is it acting or is it something else?
Acting. Amazing. you watch your mouth there, sir. But we like Rob and we like Jon Snow. Dinesh from Silicon Valley. I don't want to see him as a superhero.
In a certain role.
Yeah.
But not this.
He was awful, even in comedic role, he was awful in Stuber. So, and don't think that I forgot. I didn't. It's a terrible movie.
You should have forgot.
wish I could, but I think this trailer was sort of trying to answer some of the critiques of the first one that came out, which was like they didn't do anything and you didn't show any like powers or anything and stuff. So yeah, they're showing them doing stuff, but it's nothing that I care about. Pass twice on this one.
I think because they were like the response was why and what do they do. In the first, and it makes sense.
Seems like they just
right away in this trailer was because Thanos did this and here's their powers.
Yeah,
it was a direct correlation to all the
criticism. Yeah, for sure, 100%, 100%. And you can already tell in this trailer too that it is going to fall victim to just MO number one for Marvel, which is too much comedy. In that trailer, they already packed in too much. So yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah, nobody looks very likable in this movie as a character. I'm like, that guy looks fun, or he looks badass, or I want to know more about his story. I'm just like, meh.
We'll see. This is actually more so because I do think that that Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings could prove to be successful by whatever metric you use in this day and age, however they define success right now coming out of the pandemic. I think the Eternals has a chance to be Marvel's first true box office bomb. Yeah. I think it has fail written all over it. Maybe I'm wrong, but that is sort of what I get from the Eternals. I don't hear a lot of that. Even, you know, when Guardians was coming out, you heard like a lot of like murmurs amongst the casual folk of like being like wanting to check out this Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Like, I feel like it very much so appealed because it was Princess Bride in space, and how they marketed it was so smart. It appealed to like a wide, just a wide fan base. This one, I hear next to nothing about anybody being interested in this movie.
It doesn't appeal to anybody outside of maybe people like, maybe people in their 20s and 30s, but it doesn't appeal to kids. Like, no parent wants to take their kid to go see that movie. So I don't, it's odd. Odd how they're making this movie. And their only chance for this not to be a bomb is to market it as Marvel's Eternals. And that is plastered everywhere. If they put Marvel right before it, you got a shot. You leave it as Eternals, you're done.
Yeah. Nobody's very gonna interesting.
Care. Nobody's going to know. Yeah. I fully on board with what you just said on it. It has, they might lose a ton of money on this movie.
I think, and it might be the best thing to happen to the MCU in a long time.
They need
to be brought to heel a little bit and taken down a peg and reminded that you're supposed to give us quality. not just spew it out at us. Speaking of spewing stuff out at us, we're gonna take one more break, and on the other side, we will ponder the question: what if they canceled this show?
It's me, Iron Nerd Min Maxer Hanzo Gonzo, inviting you into Kitchen. The Tenno Media Arena to see whose nerdiness will reign supreme. No, we're gonna get sued if you. Will triumph a lotly. Come check out all the battles on the Tenno Media Network Patreon, or you can just skip to the parts where Steve physically breaks something for no reason. See you there.
Hey, you. This is Sweet Johnny Cage from Tenno. I'm here to tell you about the next big thing coming in hot from our production house. It's called the Game Club Podcast. Join me and our diverse panel of game masters as we discuss our experiences playing some of our favorite video games, whether it's a remake of a classic game from our childhoods, a game we might have missed during the height of its release, or a brand new title that tickled our collective fancy. You're sure to love what we have to say. Who knows? Maybe you'll learn something about a game you never considered playing. I know I have. Find us on Spotify under Game Club today.
Welcome back to the Best Damn Nerd Show. James Kincaid alongside Professor Chris Davis. And it is time once again to ponder the question, Davis. What if? And before I let my mouth run away with me and say what I got to say, I'm going to do my best to button up and yield the floor to you. We got episode 2, What If T'Challa Was Star-Lord? Your overall thoughts before we dive into some of the details of this episode.
Well, I think the first thing we need to bring up is we asked for somebody in our Discord, bestdamnerdshow.com/discord, to make us a GIF. It happened.
Now, that is true. That is a great point, yes.
We got our What If GIF, so thank you to the Cools, or one of them. I don't know who it was, but go check it out in our Discord. But yeah, that's our GIF now, so thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. The good. They used a different story. They went somewhere else. That was one of our big critiques last week, was that they just kind of went along with the original Captain America movie and didn't really get very creative. They got creative here. They told a different story.
Using creative in a very loose sense, but yeah, I'll go along with
that. It's different.
I'll say they created, right.
However, just doesn't mean it was good, and it wasn't. It was something else. We got Thanos not caring about who he is at all, and just being a farmer, and then some for some reason, not really giving him any sort of floor either. later on. He's just kind of forgotten about in the second part of this episode, probably for a good reason, because he's not doing shit. He's just a farmer now, it sounds like. And then you have Black Panther as Star-Lord, who has changed who the Reavers are because of the good person that he is.
It stems off really bad. If I may tag in here.
Yeah, have at it.
The question should have been, what if T'Challa was the greatest thing to ever happen to the MCU and the total savior of the Marvel Universe? That's what this episode is. It's not what if T'Challa was Star-Lord. It's what if we realized T'Challa was the savior of the entire Marvel Universe, because that's how they presented him. And I want to say off the bat, you know, we were all, you know, wounded and hurt by the just tragic passing of Chadwick Boseman and everything like that. That doesn't change here. But this story, this episode was abysmal. It was so saccharine with how, like, just how great, how perfect, how flawless T'Challa is in this thing. I mean, the right from the jump, with when he was trying to steal the artifact, and the guy that, you know, said, you know, who to Peter Quill, Star-Lord, is literally worshiping at his feet. They're fighting, and he apologizes for hitting him. Like, immediately the comedy level, like I'm about to have a fucking aneurysm watching this. Like, I'm just not feeling it whatsoever. It was so poorly done and so poorly written. In that respect, just right off the bat, I was like, that character is super annoying. I can't even think of his name right now, but, like, oh my God.
He was the actor from Gladiator. Gladiator. Yeah. Yes. And who's a good character in everything he does.
He's playing Korath the Pursuer. And so Korath was one of the worst characters I have ever seen in this show. And it was just like right from the jump, I was like, oh, wow. Like, I was sort of cautiously optimistic. I thought I handled, you know, the first episode with what if Peggy Carter took the super soldier serum pretty fairly, you know. And I will agree with you that one of the positives is that, like, hey, this wasn't just a montage of the Guardians movie with T'Challa swapped in instead of Peter Quill. It was not that. It was a different story. But the story wasn't good, and the writing was terrible. Korath's part was like, it was just nothing but sycophant irritation cheese from him the entire episode. And he was very present the whole time. He might have been the second most prevalent character in this episode. And so he was just hitting us over the head again and again and again with how great T'Challa is. And I mean, is this like a joke about, because Peter Quill made his decision in Infinity War, then why we're crapping on Peter Quill? Or are they crapping on Chris Pratt? What was the deal with this? But yes, T'Challa is so great that because he became Star-Lord, Thanos did not destroy half the universe. He literally talked him out of it.
T'Challa's
like, I sometimes have found words are more powerful than weapons. Like, what? I was astounded that T'Challa as Star-Lord is so great that Thanos joins up with him and abandons his pursuit to court death and to get the Infinity Stones and everything of that nature. That was just completely, completely ridiculous. So bad.
And completely unnecessary.
Yes, completely unnecessary. I mean, holy Lord. But I want to give it some praise, because there were a couple moments where this episode was working for me. And if they had leaned harder into it, I think that they were going for an Ocean's 11 kind of thing with this episode. But however, where it worked was we'll get to Howard in a moment. No, where this episode worked for me was Nebula. She was actually really good, and I liked the whole film noir femme fatale vibe that they were giving her in this episode. But instead of sort of leaning into that, like, if they had told me a film noir story, then I think we would have been cooking. But they were trying to do this weird comedic Ocean's 11 heist thing when I think they should have just leaned into more of the drama and intrigue with Nebula. And, you know, not to be out, there's the characters were never in any danger. Like Nebula was never really duplicitous. And because the episodes are so short, they have to reveal that as soon as she betrays them, pretty much.
Yeah.
And but the part of this episode that actually was good, where I was like, oh, okay, I dig that, was Nebula, and that was it. That was completely it. I know you like Howard the Duck.
Yeah, we got a little bit more, man. It wasn't just a walk by, and you know, we got him out of his little cell and got him drinking and talking. Gotta love Howard, man. Gotta love Howard.
Yeah, I mean, look, he wasn't the worst part about this episode.
No.
That's for damn
sure. I'll take some comedy from Howard.
That's the character that he is. Yes, everything in its proper place. But yeah, the Korath, like that, I go back to that fight at the beginning where it's like, can I use my gun? Can I not? Like, and he hits him. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry, Star-Lord. No.
Yeah.
No, dude. And even at the end, like one last like parting shot to Peter Quill is that he's just working at a fast food place as like a janitor, mopping it up.
He's like,
it was nice to see Kurt Russell again, but it's a like, you mean to tell me that Peter Quill, given his parentage and everything, wasn't destined to do great things either way?
Yeah, no, he's just gonna flip burgers.
I did like the increased usage of the Watcher in this. Like, it felt like he offered a little bit more narration throughout the episode, which I appreciate because I really like Jeffrey Wright and I love his voice. So I think finding unique ways to sort of tell the stories, I think, as bad as this episode was, I think this show works better if it was like an hour long.
Yeah.
Or 45 minutes or whatever you have to do on Disney Plus to sort of treat it like as if it was on television, because then coming back from break, you get the Watcher reintroducing where we're at and stuff like that. I don't know. I just feel like his sort of through line, it makes me feel more like I'm in the What If comic book scenario, with more of him. We got a little bit more here. So that was definitely a positive. I, in spite of how it did feel like one more sort of gut punch to Peter Quill on the way out the door, I like that we ended the story with a potential, like, sort of another story for another day, that this is not a great thing, but, yeah, so T'Challa becoming Star-Lord essentially just saves the entire universe.
Yeah, no, he's the savior.
He's the greatest thing. he's so great. A lot of people have told me he's the greatest. Sorry. it's just those. What if Donald Trump was Star-Lord? so anyway, it just was so bad. I was very disappointed, especially after, like, even though I didn't particularly like it, I thought that we had some potential, maybe a Bruin after episode one, but now we're right back down to this is bad.
Yeah, it's the bad and the good from these episodes just kind of switched.
Yeah, no, you're good point.
it just kind of flopped, and so maybe the third one equals it out in the middle.
Hey, it could. I mean, that
got,
year,
what if?
What if they find their footing in episode three?
Right. Yeah.
The Thanos stuff, man. And like, they turn him into a total joke. Thanos.
Yeah. It turned him into a big, hairy joke.
Just a big punchline.
Yeah. It was sad.
and
it'd be better if they just mentioned it and.
Why even mention it? Why not just have him still as like a? I understand the butterfly effect thing, but it, like he talked him out of it. Is what they came up with. He talked him out of it. Like that Korath characters. Which heist were? Which like awesome thing that you did was your favorite? It's so hard to choose.
What? So I will say this happened. Like the scene where it changes things, so the Ravagers go to the wrong location on Earth because of the vibranium and the aura that gives off, because Yondu wasn't with them and he sent his thugs. That was better than
You Peggy like Carter. That better.
Yeah, that was better than Peggy Carter just deciding to stay downstairs.
Yeah, I don't know how much better it was, though.
Not much better, but it's better.
Because, like, still,
it
like...
It is better.
And I get that they were, like, going for a laugh with, you know, confusing T'Challa and Peter Quill and stuff like that. And, you know, I think people expect... I think they expected to think, oh, look, Taserface is back. That'll be funny to them. No, it wasn't. It wasn't good.
Spoiler. It wasn't.
Sorry. But... I'm not sure what episode's coming next for this.
It's better just to be surprised, I think, at this point. I don't want to know.
Yeah, but I was very eager because Davis and I did not talk before we hopped on to discuss this episode. I was curious about how you would feel about it because I honestly don't know with you, Loki lover. So
I'm all over the place.
Yeah, I'm glad that your better demons prevailed here. I guess your better angels prevailed here, and you saw just what a absolute disaster this episode was.
It might just be whatever mood I'm in at the time.
It could be.
I want to have some fun, want to have some laughs. Or
you can have fun without being stupid.
You can.
Yeah, better that way. It's more fulfilling. You earn it. Anyway, we'll leave What If right there. But again, let's do it next week. God help us all. Yeah, what if T'Challa saved the Marvel Universe? What if that show was not funny or good at all? But what if it was? Anyway, that's going to do it. That's going to do it for this episode. Have a great week, everyone. Remember, if you're a nerd, always say it loud and say it proud.
Hey, everyone. Chris Siglia, CEO of the 10O Media Network here. Thank you so much for listening to our content, but we need your help. Please rate us 5 stars, subscribe, and give us a shining review wherever you listen to this podcast. It really, really helps us out. And one more thing, please tell a friend if you can. Tell them Tasty Steve, Hanzo Gonzo, Mark Mann, Rip, Ricky Replay, or someone who everyone loves sent you or something. That might help. Anyway, again, thank you for listening. And if you want more, make sure to check us out at www.ten-o.gg. www.ten-o.gg. You're listening to the 10O Media Network.